First of all, thank you, everyone, for your best wishes on my birthday. Good morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Some theologians believe that today's scripture is part of a circular letter that Paul wrote to be read as instructions to all the churches, not just the Ephesians. In the first part of the letter, chapters 1 through 3, Paul describes the blessing of being a disciple of Jesus. In the second part, Paul instructs us on how to be disciples. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of calling you. For the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets and evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the acknowledgement of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. You get an extra star for reading on your birthday. Picture of an apple. How many people like to eat apples? A question. When you eat, do you peel the apple with a knife and throw the peeling, or do you eat all of it? All of it. When I was a kid, I loved pocket knives. I still like pocket knives. I grew up in that culture. We took knives to school. No one ever got cut. It's amazing. But I always used to peel, and I like to see if I could peel it all the way around and without it breaking. Sometimes I would eat some of the peeling, but most time I would throw it away and I would just eat the pulp of the apple. It was not till I got much older that I realized that I should have been eating all of the apple, because there's two kind of fibers there. And I used to always hear that saying, an apple a day helps keep the doctor away. Never knew what that really meant. Now that I'm older, I understand that. You need everything. You need the whole ball of wax. And that's kind of what I'm talking about this morning. So I am going to dare you to grow. I'm going to dare you to move to the next level of spiritual growth in your life, to move from where you are now to where you could be on the road to spiritual maturity. What I want to say to many of you today is something that we could all tell our kids, and usually these words are used when a child is on the floor, just kicking his feet, having some kind of fit, look like you're having convulsions almost, and you're at the end of your rope and don't know what to do, and you say these magic words, "It's time to grow up." You ever said that? That's exactly what God tells us in His Word. As a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceiving scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And that's from a different version. One of the purposes of your life here on this earth is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is just a Bible word for growing up. God does not want you to stay a spiritual baby. He wants you to grow up by studying His Word, by trusting His heart, who He is, by obeying His command and His commands, and by developing good moral character. Many people are saved, but they're very shallow in their faith. They're like a lot of Christians who are a mile wide, but just an inch deep. I heard a story of a little boy who fell out of bed in the middle of the night, and his mother rushed to the room and asked him what happened. He said, "Mommy, I really don't know. I guess I just stayed too close to where I got in. Stayed on the edge of the bed. Didn't get in the middle." And a lot of Christians are like that. Far too many people do that in their spiritual life. They do what they need to do to get into God's family and become one of God's children, but they never move on. They never mature in their Christian faith. Over and over, we're told that God wants us to grow. We're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, even unto Christ. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. And Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on instead into becoming mature. 1 Peter 2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God, that by it you may grow up to salvation. The church can help you grow, but the church can never make you grow. If you're going to grow and if you're going to be on the road to spiritual maturity, then you must agree to do some following things. You must desire spiritual maturity. Not only does God want us to grow, but you as an individual, must want to grow. The Apostle Paul often compared the Christian life to athletics, and he made this statement in 1 Timothy, take time and trouble to keep yourselves spiritually fit. It doesn't happen just by accident. Everybody starts out in God's family the same way. If you're a follower of Christ, think back to when you first became one, if you can remember that. At that time, you most likely knew very few, if any, Bible verses. You knew very little, if any, spiritual truths that the Bible had to teach. Maybe you'd heard some things. Maybe you heard some wrong things. And you probably didn't know any deep teachings, spiritual teachings, from the Word of God. Or it had been completely over your head. And we all pretty much started out in the same way, in the same level. Now here's the point. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. We all have to start out in life, whether physically or spiritually, being a baby. First Peter, we are to desire the milk of the Word like newborn babies. And the reason why we are to come to the Bible like it is milk and like we are babies is that's because who we are when we first come to Christ. The problem is too many Christians never really get out of their diapers. Many adults are spiritually still in the nursery in the church. And it's very fitting to Scripture because the characteristic of a baby that is most descriptive is being selfish. And that may not be the first thing that we think about a baby, but do you realize that the most selfish person in the world sometimes is a baby. Not really their fault, but that's just the way that it is. Babies are completely self-centered. If they don't get what they want, what do? They scream and they cry. They let you know what they want. What needs do they care about? Their needs. They don't care about your needs or somebody else's needs. Whenever you give them what they want, do they ever thank you? No, they don't send you a card or call you up or email you. They just go on about their way. They don't say thanks. Do they ever try to help someone else? No, they're babies. They couldn't even if they wanted to. All a baby does is take, and all a little baby cares about really is him or herself. That is why it's so important that you and I begin to grow spiritually as Christians. It's important to understand that spiritual maturity is a process and not a destination. It is a never-ending journey that won't be totally complete until we get to heaven and we get to the point of what we call glorification. There's a process that you have to follow that takes you from being a baby to being a young person to being an adult. You need to understand that spiritual maturity and spiritual growth is not automatic. If you're going to grow, you have to want to grow. You have to decide to grow. You have to make every effort to grow, and you have to continue to grow. Spiritual maturity is intentional. It requires commitment. It requires effort. It requires determination, and it requires hard work. Do you remember how we just read that we should crave God's word just like a baby craves milk? That is exactly how we should crave spiritual hunger and growth. A young man once came to Socrates, the great teacher, and said, "Socrates, will you be my teacher?" Socrates told the young man to follow him, and he turned and he walked into the ocean. The man was right behind him, got all the way out into the water, up to their chins, almost to their lips. The young man came beside Socrates, and Socrates put his hands on his head and pushed him down under the water. The man's feeling like, well, this is my teacher. He's a great philosopher. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to learn a lesson here. And Socrates holds him under the water. Well, the time passes. Well, the man thinks, you know, he's holding me a little too long, and he starts gasping and he starts kicking and he starts wanting to get out from that, and he wants to get out from under that water so he can breathe. And finally, before he dies, Socrates lets him up. And the young man said, you know, why did you do that to me? And Socrates said to him, when you want to learn as much as you want to breathe, then I can teach you. Then you can get on the road to spiritual maturity. You must develop your spiritual maturity. How does this process begin? What does it involve? What are the steps that we must take? Well, we have to feed on the Word of God. Put simply, if spiritual maturity is going to be a priority in your life, reading your Bible and having quiet time must become a priority. You can't come home, read the newspaper for an hour, watch television for 3 hours, and look at your Bible up on the shelf and think that you're going to grow spiritually. It just won't happen. Do you realize that if you read the Bible just 15 minutes a day, you can read the Bible through in 1 year? If you cut out one 30-minute television show a day and took that time reading the Bible, you could read the Bible through in a year twice. That's pretty amazing. The Bible really is God's manual for maturity. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is given for inspiration for God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Now, each one of these purposes is very important. The Bible gives us doctrine that tells us what is right, reproof so we can know what is not right, correction to tell us how to get right, instruction so we can know how to stay right. Now, I want to emphasize the importance of reading the Bible and studying to grow spiritually, but I do not want to overemphasize it. Now, that may sound strange coming from a minister. What I mean by that is some people think that all you need to do to grow is just read and study your Bible. The truth is that is just one part of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity includes worshiping, includes praising God, building relationships within the church, using your spiritual gifts in ministry with other people, and sharing with those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord. In other words, spiritual growth occurs when you participate in all the purposes for which God has put us here, for worship, for fellowship, for ministry, for missions, and for evangelism. Everything you do is a part of maturity. When you come to the worship service and truly try to experience worship and listen to God's word, that is part of maturity. When you listen to the preaching of God's word and apply it to your life, that is a part of maturity. When you give financially and support God's work and mission, that is a part of maturity. When you're involved in a small group and are building up relationships, that is a part of maturity. When you serve in some capacity and minister to the needs of the others, that is a part of maturity. When you share your faith with non-believers, that's a tremendous part of your spiritual maturity. Everything a church does should be ultimately with the thought in mind of making disciples and maturing disciples. This is the one thing that we can do that nobody else can do, and we can do it certainly better than anyone else. But we can only go so far. So you can only give the resources here at the church, but you must determine to develop your own spiritual maturity. And you must demonstrate your spiritual maturity. Many churches evaluate spiritual maturity basically in two ways: what you know and when you show. In other words, spiritual maturity is measured by how much of a Bible you know and how many times you show up in church or listen to sermons. I don't want to get too hard on just being here, because sometimes people can't be here, but you can still be connected if you can't be here by listening to the service on the internet, or if there's a small group that you can get to, or being involved in the other ministries of the church. Lee Corso says, I'll skip that. Spiritual maturity is demonstrated more by how you behave than it is by what you believe. And some people have a hard time understanding that. In fact, what you believe or say you believe doesn't matter if you do not behave like you believe it. James, the Lord's half-brother, who says in James 3, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior or his good works." In other words, we have to put some action behind our talk. That's why the real mark of spiritual maturity is simply obeying God. James said, once again, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice." That's from James 1. So real maturity is not just learning from what the Bible says, but practically applying it in the different circumstances that come up in your life. Knowing what the Bible says, praying and acting on the Word of God. And I want to just think for a moment about the tremendous benefits of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. Personally, as you spiritually mature, you grow closer to God and you grow deeper in your faith and you grow stronger, I believe, in handling the difficult circumstances that come up in your life. Whatever may come up in your life, whatever bad thing may come, whether it's financial or whether it's help, whether it's relationship-wise, whatever. Family benefits: the more spiritual mature you are, the better husband I believe that you will be, the better wife, the better mother, the better father, the better family member you will be. And spiritual benefits: when you're spiritually mature, God can do more in you, with you, and through you. You can have a greater impact on the lives of other people. when you not only believe it, but you're acting on it and you're spiritually maturing. God is so determined to get you on the road to spiritual maturity that everything that He allows to happen in your life is for your spiritual growth and maturity. In James 1, it says, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Now, most of us don't see it that way. When something bad comes, we might get down. We don't think about, oh, let me find some joy. What can I learn from this? For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. So in other words, don't wait for something to happen. Start building your foundation of faith and maturity right now, because things do come our way that can devastate us, and that's why we have to be spiritually mature. So I'm daring you to move and understand that maturity is a process and certainly involves more than just a small group or just joining a church. Spiritual maturity is demonstrated by faith that is growing through personal daily Bible reading and prayer. If you're not doing it, just try to start. Finances that are godly by giving a portion on a weekly or biweekly or monthly, however you give to God and to your church for the work. Family that is grounded by participating, if you can, in a small group or consistently serving in some capacity with the church and staying connected with the church as best as you can. Spiritual maturity begins with the surrender of your life to God. And that really is the hardest thing for any of us to do. Because you cannot grow until you're born. And in order to be born into God's family, you must trust God to save you. So first you have to actually turn your life over to God. Just joining the church doesn't do that. You have to ask Christ to come into your life and to take over. Then you can truly begin to get on the road to spiritual maturity and growth. A little bit of a different sermon today. May God bless you. Amen.